Hi, I'm Greg Mangum, the founder and voluntary CEO of Only a Pavement Away. We're a charity that supports people looking to rebuild their lives through employment opportunities in hospitality. To date, Only a Pavement Away has placed 779 people into work, which has added a value of 29 million back into society. This is our podcast series, Serving Success, where we explore how this amazing industry is truly driving change, supporting people to rebuild their lives and adding real value back into our communities. Each month, we catch up with inspiring leaders who have put people and purpose at the forefront of their businesses. So before I introduce the two people we're going to talk to today, I think it's worth pointing out that the company they represent has done an amazing job in allowing Only a Pavement Away to do what it does. From their generosity, their support, their guidance, and the time they give up, which is proven by today. The two gentlemen you're going to hear from today also probably could do this speech because they've been coerced into attending more of my presentations than anyone else I know. So without further ado, I'm delighted to introduce this month's guests, John Dale and Andy Spencer from Punch Pubs, and they're going to introduce themselves. So we're going to do things a little bit different today, where instead of a Q&A structure, we're going to hand over to John and Andy, who are going to talk us through it. I might ask a few questions here and there, but at the end of the day, I think what you, the listeners, are going to get out of this is that hospitality is the industry that supports its community. We have fun and we welcome everybody, whether they be customers, team members, people looking to kickstart their lives into an environment that's safe and enjoyable. So it's great to have you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us down to your bunker, your underground lair. We appear to be at least one floor beneath the streets of London in a cell. So thank you.
There is no escape.
Thank you for being down here. And really, before we start, well, A, thank you for having us, and B, super impressive numbers. You know, the number of people you've now got into employment is staggering, actually. And also, I think what inspires us, me in particular, is that they stick, they get looked after, and that, you know, you really change their lives in a meaningful way for the long term, which is fantastic. So very well done.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. I think, as I say, I've known you for a long time. I remember the early days of Only a Pavement Away. I've been in hospitality and pub companies now for, you know, 12, 13 years, and I remember us having a very broad conversation probably about 12 years ago about, you know, I've got this idea, me and Jill are thinking about, you know, what do you think to it, John? And I thought, you're mad. But at the same time, you know, I thought, you know, there's a real intent there from you guys to really make a difference. And it's incredible, you know, you roll that forward now 10, 15 years, what you guys are doing, you know, to kind of unite the industry against homelessness is incredible. So hats off to you and the team, and you continue to make a difference. And it's only gathering momentum, which you should be rightly proud of.
Thank you.
Yeah, and why is the charity relevant to our business? So we at Punch Pubs & Co, we're really proud to operate 1,300 pubs across the UK. They are predominantly community pubs, so we run pubs where people live rather than where they work, and, you know, a range of businesses, but a lot of them are community focused. So, you know, that kind of brings us to, well, why do people come to our pubs? What's it all about? What's the point? And in lots of cases, you know, people come for amazing food and service and drinks, and that's fantastic. But in a great number of cases, in lots of occasions, why they're really coming is for social connectivity. They're coming because they want to be part of a community, they want to feel involved, they want to be included, they're in a society or a club, or they're responding to a charity. And it's those connections which are enormously important to our publicans and our communities, and that fits clearly really well with the work that you guys do. So that's kind of, I think, why this connection is really important for us.
Yeah, I think that a big thing for me is that our pubs are about creating safe and inclusive spaces for people as well. And I think that, you know, the more and more, you know, we face the challenges that we come up against within this world, is that the pub now is much more than just a place where you want to go for a drink. You know, it is a place where you celebrate, you commiserate, you talk, you converse. And ultimately, that's where, you know, friendships are made. It really is in the pub, in that pub setting. And so, you know, we want to play an instrumental part in that within the Punch business, but at the same time, work with people like Only a Pavement Away to really make a difference. And as I'm sure we'll come on to talk about, you know, one of our key values is doing well by doing good. That's what Punch stands for, whether that's in the social space or the environmental space. And again, in the time that I've been at the business for 4.5 years, it's incredible the momentum we've gathered over that period of time. And, you know, and it's great to see the work that we're doing with the youth continue to move in the right direction. And, you know, not just empowering our employees, but our publicans and our management partners on the ground as well. Everyone wants a slice of it now. Everyone wants to know more about Only a Payment Away and how they can make a difference, because that really resonates with them. It resonates with their customers. And I think ultimately, you know, we're all about economic growth, how as a pub industry, as a hospitality industry, we can do more to generate, you know, that growth within the economy. But it's as much about the social value that we bring to the economy as well as that economic growth. And that's why that the work that you do is extremely powerful.
And I think one of the big things to pick out of that is our initiative that we started last year, Food for Thought.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a case where you folks at Punch said, right, we're going to get you some soup and dispense that. And I always remember talking to one of the food banks and they're saying, does the company that supplied this soup realise the impact they've had on the people in the queue? Because some of these people wouldn't have had a meal that can sustain them for a day or a couple of days. And yet when you say Punch of donated soup, yeah, that was good. They said you need to almost, if you could, find a sentence and say, do Punch know the impact of what they've done? Because it has stopped someone going hungry. It has stopped a mum or dad giving up their dinner to go to their kids. It's invaluable. And this person who's running the food bank said, I don't think you can put a price on it. You can't put a price on that tin of soup or that chef making that soup. There's a much, much bigger price. And they said, because the community is now far better off. And I think that epitomises the things you do in the background that you possibly don't get the recognition for that you should.
Yeah,
thank you. And I guess, look, what I think what's interesting here actually is that the work that your charity does, you know, is really well aligned to what we're trying to do as a business, you know. So you know, we run a business, we're in this to create value, to create opportunity, to create, you know, we run a partnership business. So all our pubs are run by entrepreneurs, by individuals, and, you know, our real aim is to be the very best partner we can be, to be the partner of choice. We want to run the UK's five-star pub co, and we need to do that by partnering with brilliant individuals. And how do we get there? Well, we need to ensure that we create the right commercial relationship with them. We create the right commercial opportunity. We invest wisely. We support them in all they do. But also, you know, we need to understand what motivates them. And what's fascinating, actually, is when we talk to our publicans and our licensees, of course, you know, they are motivated by economic gain and by building a business, but they're also enormously motivated by their sense of place in the community and the value they add in community. So if we can find ways of creating both, you know, really strong, resilient and long-term economic opportunity via the way we invest in our businesses and support publicans and management partners, alongside enabling them to really have a place in their community and have real kind of purpose, then we win. So this, you know, fits together really well. You know, clearly we run a commercial business. We work hard to drive returns and deliver for our investors. That's paramount. But we know that we get to that via having brilliant people running our pubs. And we know that one of the key motivations of those individuals is often the place they have in society and how they can impact their local community and how they can give back. And partnering with charities, you know, enables that in a really strong way.
Yeah, you know, I'd agree with what Andy said, Greg. And I think that, you know, you look at the soup offering that we had, you know, it staggers me, really. I think that within the business, Andy's talked a lot about our publicans and our management partners, our operators, and how they're proud of their own individual businesses and what they do for communities. But I think it also resonates, you are doing well by doing good value, really resonates with our employees as well. So, you know, I think the days of going into a business now and just the first thing you say to your hiring manager is, well, how much am I going to earn? Long gone. I think a lot of people now see joining a company as more than just a paycheck. They really want to kind of get under the skin of a business. And a lot of conversations I, Andy, I'm sure others within our business see is that, you know, they're really interested in what we do in this space as well. You know, how are we supporting communities? How are we influencing society? How are we making sure that, you know, we do the right things and we do well by doing good? And, you know, we've just launched recently our ESG report, our Punch Promise. And if you look through that, you know, as individuals within our business, everyone should be rightly proud because everyone has played a part in that. And you know, the soup offering a few years ago, you know, no one would have come to me or the team and said, actually, we've got some surplus soup from our menu cycles. It probably would have just been thrown away. But ultimately now people are thinking outside the box and thinking, you know, the food for thought thing came. Is there something that we could do with Only a Pavement's a way to really bring that to life and help people less fortunate ourselves? So I think that is just another great example how working collaboratively together within the industry can really change people's lives. And at the same time, people feel extremely proud about it. And as a business, that's what we want to do at Punch. We want to make people feel proud of what they are doing and who they are working for.
And do you think outside of that, on both of what you said, sort of, that without being too particular, that the government and the wider community recognise that? Because I know when I was a pub manager and then an area manager, and before you asked, John, yes, it was post-war.
you said it before me, yeah, Greg.
You know, it was always that pub was, that's where you went, that's where you gravitated to, and whether it was a day at the races for charity or something like that. I think, I don't know if people realise what pubs do, that they're still doing the same way, but they might be doing different things. Like, they wouldn't have donated to a food bank, but they would have said, right, we're going to raise money for this charity or that charity.
Yeah, so I think there is an awareness. I think the awareness of the role pubs have in society was heightened during COVID. Mm. You know, I think there's an amazing amount of work that was done by publicans in our businesses, which I'm super proud of, and across the sector. You know, that people really went out of their way when the businesses were closed to maintain connectivity and maintain social cohesion and to support communities. And I think that really has reset or brought back into sharp focus and relief the part that pubs play in society. Do government always remember that? No. I think it's our role as an industry. It's part of my job to remind and continue to remind government that the part that pubs play both economically, which is significant, as employers, and often first employers, and often employers of those that can't find meaningful employment elsewhere, not least via your charity, and also you know, the part they play around loneliness and connectivity and cohesion. So you know, that message, I think, has to be replayed consistently to government. And you know, I think they understand it. I think when faced with tough economic challenges, you know, it's sometimes overlooked. So you know, it's incumbent on us all, I think, to ensure that message is in sharp relief regularly.
And I think for me, what we need to get better at, or what we're trying to encourage our operators to do, is tell us about those good news stories. I think a lot of our operators, our public and managed departments, just feel as though that's what they do day to day. That's part of their everyday operational life cycle. You know, they should be doing that to support the communities, but they are there to run a pub and make a profit at the end of the day. And we know how challenging that is at the minute with, you know, the cost complexities and the acute pressures that they regularly face. But, you know, for example, we run a weekly competition called Grand Idea. And what we're trying to do is really kind of eke out some of those fascinating community-led stories that our publicans and management partners do day in, day out. And again, you of the stories that we know about, we've got 1,300 community pubs and they're all self-employed operators. So some of the great stuff that goes on with the pubs we know about, and some of the stuff we don't. We're really trying to kind of encourage people to do that. Just to give you a figure alone, you know, last year of all the pubs that we know that were doing some great work for local communities, they raised nearly £200,000. Yeah, that's incredible. You know, on top of their day job. Yeah, that is really going to change people's lives, and they should shout from the rooftops about they do. And not just within Punch, but the wider industry. Going back to your earlier point, you know, really conveying the benefits of the industry to the government and their growth agenda. These are the kind of the great stories that we should be shouting about. Yes, of course, every pub company has a commercial story that they want to tell and owners that they need to kind of report into. But actually, what really resonates with government at the minute is, you know, how people are making a difference and investing locally, which will have a material impact on that economic environment.
And I think that's really, really important of how we get that message across, because people don't recognise that. I know that when I go and collect one of my granddaughters, if I'm from school, if I'm early, I pop into the pub. I only have a Diet Coke and that.
Of course you do.
But there, I need the drink after I collected her. But there are six guys in there, and they're always in there on that Monday or Tuesday if I go in and pick her up.
Yeah,
they're always in there, and I just don't know what would happen if that pub closed.
Yeah.
Because it's not busy in there, but it's obviously, I know that two of them are widowers and that, and they have the same conversation every day. And they, you know, I could actually sort of say, yeah, it's 10 to 3, they should be ordering there, 2 pints of this, 2 pints of that, 2 pints of that. But that, I don't know if the rest of the community realises what that pub is doing for six key members of their society, really. And it's difficult to get it across, isn't it, Andy?
It is. And we are thinking actively about how we can help in this space consistently. So one of the things we're currently working through is how we can roll out mental health first aiding in our across our pubs, and how we can equip our publicans and our management partners with to be able to have the conversations, you know, be that about loneliness, be that about alcohol dependency. You know, the operator of the pub, the landlord, landlady, the publican is such a trusted member of a community that they are often the one able to have the difficult conversations. And thinking about how we can enable them to feel, you know, they'll never be expert, but can they be sufficiently informed and equipped to have the conversation, to point people to the right resources to enable them to support people locally? Super important. So, you know, that's really important to us. And I guess going back to the kind of the wider points around Punch, and John was talking earlier about why people want to work with our business and want to partner with us, and what makes them proud to do so. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that the work we do around doing well by doing good and you know, social responsibilities, in the vast majority of cases is bottom up. So this is our team members of the team, publicans, management partners telling us how they think they should make a difference and the things that are really important to them personally or to relatives or to friends of theirs, and then, you know, we think about how we can bring the support and the scale of the business to bring those things into sharp relief, which is really important.
Yeah. And I saw that in the, is it Pub Heroes?
Yeah, so I was just going to mention that actually. That's something that kind of we're really proud of as a business, really, is our Pub Heroes network. So, you know, we've developed, that's very much a bottoms-up approach. You know, we had an idea probably a couple of years ago about how we ensure that our operators' voices are heard. And ultimately, we then utilise, you know, the skill set within our business to bring some of those initiatives or ideas to life. And, you know, our Pub Heroes group, which is made up of really kind of inspirational operators in both the leased and tenanted in the management partnership side that really care about this kind of stuff that we've just talked about, whether that's protecting the environment. So we have three pillars: our people, our clubs, and our planet. It's not rocket science, but it resonates with all the work that we do. And so we've now got almost 40 Pub Heroes that meet on a quarterly, half yearly basis, and we've got one coming up in a few weeks' time where, you know, we listen to them. It's not show and tell. It's us listening to them, resonating with some of the activities they're doing and how we can potentially then build that upscale and make sure that, you know, we're listening to them. We're then utilising them from a peer-to-peer perspective to ensure that our wider operators and our estate benefit as a result. So it's a really valuable network of individuals, of like-minded people that want to make a difference, and we will utilise their experience to ensure that we remain on the right track. And to Andy's earlier point, we are doing work in those three pillars, the people, clubs, planet, that will help us not only achieve our strategic aims and goals from a commercial business perspective, but ultimately how it makes sure they win in their local markets, because it's bloody tough out there at the minute.
But those 2 days I spent there, I was really impressed by the culture, because if you go back to, I'm giving my age away again, go back to 1987 when I was an area manager in a very large pub company in London. You know, if you'd have had that together, the managers you'd have invited, with no disrespect to them, would have gone out the night before and had raw meat. You know, to have had someone from property, HR, oh yeah, we've got this other guy here who knows John quite well, you know, right, sleeves rolled up, now we're going to go for him. The three sessions I sat in on, were all totally positive. Yeah. And what I was taken aback by was the machismo had gone. People were bearing their souls. There was one guy who really shared a story talking to me, and he said, look, I'm going to tell the whole group. Yeah. And I thought, God, that culture of the industry has really, really changed of what people like yourselves have done.
Yeah, I think, you know, for many years, the, you know, so clearly I've also been in the pub industry for a long time, longer than I care to remember. But, you know, the relationship between pub companies and the individual entrepreneurs running their pubs has changed enormously for the better in the last 15 years. The work to align objectives and to align values and to all be pulling in the same direction has moved materially. And I think it, you know, it'd be moving on an incremental basis year by year, and then jump forward probably 10 years during COVID, due to the way that I think we and others in the industry worked tirelessly to support people during that really difficult time. So yeah, no, we're really proud now of the relationships we have with our publicans and our MPs, and you know, we work really hard to understand what motivates them, and that leads us to Pub Heroes mm-hmm. and to different listening groups, which enable us to understand, you know, what do they want from us as a partner, and clearly a lot of that is economic and is about investment and is about opportunity, but also a chunk of it is about how can we help them make a difference locally. How can we ensure that they are really are a pillar of their community and are really adding value? And those things, you know, and we ask, I should expect, we ask people a lot of questions about, you know, what drives them to do what they do. And you talk to a lot of our publicans about what drives them. And community and the sense of belonging and community cohesion probably comes alongside economic benefit, if not ahead of.
Yeah,
which is fascinating.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's a bit too early to say too much at the minute. But you know, we've had this conversation, and Amir, Andy, in the kind of the midst of it, is we're doing some really important work at the minute with Northumbria University around social value. It's just what Andy alluded to, and you know, whilst you know we're probably not in a position to, you know, launch the research till later in the year or early in 2026, which not only will I think will benefit Punch and the work we do in partnership with our operators, but again, from an industry point of view, it will hopefully demonstrate just all the fantastic that work that we do, and the fact that pubs aren't just places now to go and grab a pint. They are genuinely a lifeline for local communities and individuals as well. So we're halfway through that research, and the initial findings that we've seen, it's incredible just the amount of work they go. And also, you know, in terms of the value capital and the economic benefit that pubs bring alongside the social value should never ever be underestimated. And I think that I just encourage as many publicans and operators as possible, not just within the Punch estate but the industry as a whole, to really tell those positive stories that they're doing at a local level, because I generally don't think we are shouting from the rooftops as hard as we possibly could do. And I think the more we can demonstrate that fantastic work we're doing, hopefully the government might listen, because it is difficult out there. You know, we've got a budget on the horizon in, you know, a couple of months' time. You know, let's see what comes out of that. But, you know, we are trying to press that point that, you know, ultimately, yeah, the budget last time was a real hammer blow for the sector. And I genuinely feel, to Andy's earlier point, that publicans continue to defy the odds and remain agile and versatile and do what they can to ensure that they remain a success. But, you know, we've still got one pub closing every day at the minute, which is tragic when we talk about all the fantastic stuff that they do at a local level. And ultimately, they might be the only place that an individual goes to during the course of a day. And so, you know, we're losing pubs at an alarming rate, and that is really, really concerning. So as an industry, we need to remain united. We need to shout from the rooftops and demonstrate that if it wasn't for the local pub, where would communities be now?
Yeah, and I think when we go into the prisons and go into the homeless charities, it's amazing when we turn around and say, you will get paid above the living wage. You'll get shares, you'll get pensions, you'll get uniforms, you'll get meals on duty, you'll get a ready-made team, family around you, you'll get people who want to look after you. If you want to go and work on a building site for 6 months of the year, get soaking wet, freezing cold, supply your own gear, supply your own sandwiches, that's down to you. Or do you want to come and work for someone that can be, where you can be an ops director in 4 or 5 years, or you can just stay doing what you're doing and you're happy? I don't think we shout about that enough, as the way we don't shout about all the things that our industry does. I readily admit I'm really biased. I just don't think there's another industry to touch us, really.
Yeah.
But I just don't think we shout out enough.
It's interesting
how vital we are to society.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, we work with another company called Career Ready as well, and I've done a bit of mentoring work with those to a couple of local colleges near where I live in the Midlands. And it really frustrated me that, you know, I had a lot of conversation with these individuals, with these students kind of post 16. And I remember I went to an open evening one night and talked about the work that we do at Punch and, you know, how you can go from bar to boardroom in no time at all. It's one of those, you know, it's one of those industries where you can really progress very quickly, to your earlier point. And, you know, I had one parent stand up and say, well, I'm just not sure hospitality is the career for my son. And I was like, why is that? He said, well, it's a part-time stopgap. And I said, you could not be further from the truth. And again, that goes back to your point, the fact that we need to continue to do more, because you can really accelerate your experience, your career progression within the hospitality industry. And unfortunately, there are still some of the preconceived and preconceived ideas and misconceptions out there that we need to address. And I think by telling all the good news stories and, you know, ultimately what we can do as an industry to support the growth agenda, hopefully over the time that will resonate. But unfortunately, that's just unfortunately some of those misconceptions that some people still have. And it, you know, having worked in this industry a long time, I think there is still a job to be done.
A big job. I'd like to sort of focus a bit on the Punch promise and for you to explain what the Punch promise is, and if you could take us through that and the future.
Thanks, Greg. I think the Punch Promise is a document that we're extremely proud of. It summarises all the activity that we do in the Doing Well by Doing Good space, particularly underpinned by our three pillars of people, planet and pubs. And it's amazing, actually, when you start to summarise all the activity that you do and put it into a document like the Punch Promise, that you realise as a business how much we've done. And what I've really, really been pleased with, and it's really resonated with me, is that if you look at the document that we did 2 or 3 years ago, there was a lot of head office activity that our employees are doing on a regular basis. But now if you look at the recent one, there is as much, if not more, activity that our publicans and our management partners are doing as well that makes its way into the Punch Promise. And I think that comes down to the fact that we now give them very much a voice, whether it's through our Pub Heroes group, we have other working groups as well, Push the Pineapple, which is very focused on our people and our pineapples of a purpose on the planet. So yeah, it's amazing how far it's come. There is always more that we can be doing, and I think ultimately next year's will be another iteration of where we've gone and where we're going to. And I think, Andy, that's probably something that as a business, you know, when we look to the next kind of 3 to 5 years, you know, ESG will always play a big part in that.
Yeah, I think it's super important that this is not an adjunct to our strategy, it's a key plank of it. So, you know, we have a very clear aim at Punch. We aspire and want to be and will be the UK's five-star pub company. That is the plan. And we know we run a partnership business. We only get there by having the very best publicans and MPs working in our businesses across the UK. They have to want to partner with us. And they'll partner with us for two reasons. Firstly, because we can create economic opportunity for them, which is clearly paramount. But also, increasingly, our partners really care about the work we do in this, in ESG, in this space. They really care about their impact on society, and they really care about the values that are held dear by the business they partner with. So, you know, the Punch Promise brings it all together in one place. As John says, it's iterative. We think it's in a really good place now. It will get far better, I think, in years to come as the work we do spreads to more and more of our pubs, which is paramount. And that will always be, you know, a key part of how do we ensure we run the best business. We have to have the best people working with us. We have to be a brilliant partner and understand why people want to join and take on a pub opportunity with Punch rather than anyone else. And what we do in this space will always be front and centre of that.
I think the thing is as well is that, you know, we know that the community pub is going to continue to evolve as well. Mm. And I think the work that we do in the Doing Well by Doing Good space will also continue to evolve as well. I think it's important that, you know, that there's, you know, in the world where loneliness is such a key issue as well, I think people will always seek that kind of connectivity, and the pub will play an important part in that. So, you know, as we alluded to earlier, you know, COVID was a cataclysmic period for our pubs and our operators, but, you know, we diversified, we remained agile, and we came out of it the other side. You know, we are resilient as a sector, and so I think we are going to face some more headwinds without a doubt as we move into the next 3 to 5 years, but, you know, as a collective working collaboratively together, we will remain resilient and we will get through it. And I think as we continue to do that, there will be new ideas, new perspectives on things. And, you know, it's important that one of my jobs is to make sure we capture those moments, because we're very proud of us Punch as a business, but also our operators. So I think this, you know, this is a demonstrable piece of work that really brings to life all the great stuff that potentially our publicans and operators on the ground don't necessarily shout about on a day-to-day basis. So it's yeah, it's something that we're really proud of, and long may it continue.
And before we sort of move on, one of the big things you do for us, and while I say to people, you know, doesn't have to be a massive campaign, is the cricket match yesterday.
Oh, don't, no. We're not talking about the cricket match.
We've
moved beyond that.
Nick McKenzie did give me a 10 after
it. I thought he may have mentioned that, yeah. I've decided that next year my role will be mainly ceremonial, and I'm not to be allowed near a bat or a ball. It was a great day. What's fascinating? Wow, everyone was so competitive. Like it's all great fun until you don't win.
Right.
So next year. We'll talk about it next year.
The question I've got to ask Eddie is aimed at Mr. Dale here, because I saw him in another charity cricket match.
Oh.
And he was fielding on the boundary. And I think he could have caught the ball, but it was the dilemma of, did he put the bottle of beer down or did he catch the ball? Was there anything like that yesterday that he had to face that dilemma again?
That was outside of working hours, Greg.
He was never near enough to a catch. That's been an issue.
I think it's the third year that we've done it now, and, you know, we're trying to get, again, talking about momentum, you know, with Andy and Chris Jowsey from Admiral and Nick McKenzie from Green King. You know, it is a bit of fun at the end of the day. To Andy's point, it does get quite competitive this time. And having won it the last 2 years at Punch, Green King are definitely gunning for us this time around. But, you know, it's one of those days we talk about camaraderie within the industry, and again, whether that's our publicans, our operators, or even our guests on the ground, but, you know, even from a head office point of view, yes, there is a degree of seriousness there, and we're raising for a great charity and Only a Payment Away, but ultimately it was great fun. We like to continue it, and anything, we're always looking at ways and opportunities where we can look to generate funds for people like yourselves, because you can really make a difference.
I think before we go to the quickfire round, then a couple of thanks for me. Thanks for the spread we got in your recent impact report. It was far more than I anticipated. It was great, and I think I'm giving out copies all over the place.
Thoroughly deserved. So yeah, most welcome.
And I think the other thing, it must be great for you too, to actually have been in a room with me where I haven't decided to buy a round of drinks and then phoned you up afterwards and said, "Oh hell, I forgot to pay the tab." So this is probably the safest environment you've been in with me, the cheapest. Yeah, as well.
That has certainly happened a few times, Greg, I've got to say. Yeah. But there we go. Yeah. But that shouldn't be a slight on your character, of course.
I've grasped being a charity in need of a charity like no other mantra there is. You know, I've got an excuse for it now, rather than just being a scrounger. So some quick fire questions. What's your favourite thing about hospitality?
My favourite thing about hospitality is that the people I get to work with are incredible.
Yeah, exactly the same. I think the people, you know, it's an industry like no other. You know, I've worked in a few sectors during my career, which feels like it's been a lifetime now, but I think that, yeah, it's just every day there is something different going on. I think ultimately what I like about it is that there is no day the same. There are challenges that we need to overcome, but you know, working as a collective, we are such a collaborative industry as well. Having worked in other industries, particularly retail, FMCG, you know, hospitality, we do in the main talk with one voice, you know, and again, to Andy's earlier point, that really came to the fore during COVID as well. So I think, yeah, the people really make this industry. And I think once you're immersed in hospitality, it's bloody difficult to get out of it.
Favourite meal at a restaurant? John, you first.
Oh, I would probably go steak, not just because I've got expensive taste, but because my wife isn't a big steak fan. So we very, very rarely have it at home. So I think if I can have steak with all the trimmings, whether that's with work or in a personal capacity, if it's on the menu, I will go for it. A nice, you know, kind of sirloin steak, kind of medium rare, perfect.
On Tuesday, I found the most amazing kebab. Outstanding. So there we go. That was this week's. This week's.
Best leadership advice you've ever received?
Probably to listen, to ensure that, you know, the strength of a team is shared, the opportunity for everyone to share their opinion. So ensuring that you balance everyone's opinions and you ensure that everyone has space to contribute is probably the best advice.
Yeah, I think be yourself. I remember one of my mentors a long time saying that to me, don't try and be someone that you're not. I think that's really important. And I think the other element for me is that autonomy as well. So I've never, ever been a kind of a micromanager. I think it's really important you let people express themselves and also stand back. You know, whenever you join a new business, you know, take it in, absorb it. You know, I'm not a big fan of these people that come into business and say, right, we're going to, it's my way or the highway. That just turns everyone completely off. So I think be yourself, be transparent, and you know, allow that degree of autonomy, because I think, you know, if you do that, then in our world we talk about inspiring moments, and I think you can only inspire those moments if you've got the people that really want to be within the business.
And the next question is that there could be an easy answer for this, but you can't include me in it. What figure would you have dinner with in the world of hospitality, past or present? Now, I told you it'd be difficult because I took myself out there, Frank.
Oh, gosh. Who would I have? Who I would go for? And purely because, so I know he's not in a particularly great, Heston Blumenthal. You know, I think that I went to his, and actually I don't think it's too far from where your neck of the woods, Andy, but I think that I went to the Fat Duck actually years and years ago, actually on one of my first dates with my wife. But I had a really great experience. As we know, he's quite bizarre in terms of his offerings and what he does. And I was just really intrigued by, you know, his thought process behind it, how he captured people's imagination and where he dreamt up some of these dishes as well. So, you know, I never actually got to answer that. I've actually been in a room where he's done a presentation. I didn't really get to have a conversation with him. But I know he's obviously had his own battles with mental health as well recently. So I think it would be twofold for me in terms of just understanding, you know, when he was in his pomp, you know, where he came up with his ideas, why he was so left field in terms of some of his menu designs and specs, but also the, you know, we talk a lot now about mental health and well-being, and I've really got to understand some of the challenges he face within hospitality and how potentially hospitality has helped bring him out the other side as well. So I think that would be someone that I'd like to have a conversation and have a chat with.
And probably for me, I'd go and seek out a publican that had been in their pub for like 40 years. I'm astounded by the longevity that is we see in our business, but also across the sector, and just understanding how someone is able to maintain motivation and reinvent themselves in the same space for that length of time, I think is fascinating. So that'd be a great way to spend an evening.
It's interesting, yeah. And hospitality in one word?
Fascinating. I would say. I think that would be my view. Fascinating purely because there is no day that's
like 20 words.
I know, but I wanted to give it a little bit of context. You know that I can't just...
That's 25 words. 25. Inspiring.
Thank you. Obviously, something we've got to add to the brief next time is one word is one word.
I will give you that feedback.
When have I ever stuck to the rules?
And having put you through, the pain of this and coerced you into doing it... Who would you like to hear on the next one?
I am going to say one of your members. I think ultimately for me is that you do some fantastic work, and you know, you've heard from a lot of hopefully inspiring leaders within this space in terms of why they invest and over-index with Only a Pavement Away. But having listened and heard from some of your members who have had some really dark days but started to come out the other side, actually listening to those people in terms of their journey and hopefully how they've really kind of turned it and rolled and, you know, gone from seeing absolutely no light at the end of the tunnel to seeing a glimmer of light and then actually getting to the end of the tunnel, I think is absolutely incredible. And I think those people are, talking about inspiring, I think those people are people that a lot of us could learn a lot from, because we've, touch wood, we've never been in those positions, but I would hope that I would never be in that position, but you never quite know what's around the corner. So actually listening to someone that's been there and done it, lived and breathed it, I think we could take a lot from and learn a lot from as well.
And I go with, so I would have the good fortune to accompany you a few weeks ago, or a month ago, to Wandsworth Prison, which was incredible, actually, and really insightful, amazing what you learn. And a couple of people we met there who were running the educational programs and helping inmates get ready to leave and gain meaningful employment were, I thought they were outstanding, like really impressive people. So hearing their stories and hearing what they do and why they do it and why they choose... One of the ladies I was chatting to, you know, had chose, you know, enormously well educated and had chosen kind of this vocation of working in prison. And she could have, you know, educated, I'm sure, in any school in the country.
Yeah.
And she chose to be in that environment. So, you know, understanding their motivations and what they learn, I think would be fascinating.
Right. No, that's excellent. So, guys, this has been brilliant. I think what I would say to anybody listening to this podcast, if you can do a tenth of what Punch are doing for us, then step forward, because it's going to have a big impact on us. I think if you're out there and you have concerns, you just heard from two leading characters within the industry that hopefully have allayed your concerns. And it, once again, I'd have to say that Only a Pavement Away wouldn't be here from when Jill and I started it if it weren't for the support we got from the likes of you folks at Punch and the culture you have there. I have to say, if anybody wants to do a... see the video of Steve Allen working on the cook-off, walking about with a fish, and Tom Aitken saying to him, just put the bloody fish down and do something with it, would be fantastic. But a huge thanks to both of you, to of course to our sponsors of the podcast, Stonegate. Give us a review, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and keep your eyes and ears peeled for the next one. So thanks very much, guys, and see you soon.
Been great, thank you.
Yeah, thanks ever so much, Greg.